welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we spend an hour together enjoying each other's company and participating in traditional radio, the way radio used to be before it was good. And maybe learning something and then unlearning it because it's wrong.
Welcome to Crab Shacks.
All right.
We're testing out a new dining concept.
A lot of people who came up poor missed the kind of crappy poison food they were raised on.
So we provide those terrible recipes made with low-quality ingredients to satisfy their nostalgia.
Sounds good. Table for one.
Here we go, sir.
The table is an ironing board.
Yep, just like you remember it.
Not really how I was raised. Oh, and the chair is a milk crate. It seems a little low.
Ha, 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 rich boy. No, you stack them until you get the height you want.
All right. It's not super comfortable.
You're lucky you didn't wear shorts. Here's the menu.
It's on a shovel.
Yeah, like back in the day.
Not sure menus were on shovels.
Back in the day, they had to put menus on all sorts of unlikely things when they didn't have cardstock. They put menus on garden tools, and then they would add chicory to make the menu go farther.
I guess I'll have the skillet breakfast.
Ooh, I wouldn't get that. They've been using plastic skillets, and when they melt in the oven, it's making the sausage smell funny.
Okay, then the old-fashioned country poverty and ignorance breakfast.
Absolutely. The way Edward Bernays meant it to be. What kind of eggs?
Scramble.
No, I mean from what animal? Chicken? Snake?
You have snake eggs?
Oh, I don't know, but I could ask.
No. Chicken is fine.
So you want chicken instead of eggs?
No, I want chicken eggs.
Okay, chicken eggs. I guess they do lay eggs. You want fake and bacon?
Oh, what's that?
That's 7-Eleven pork rinds that have been rehydrated and lovingly fried in something viscous.
No thanks, just the eggs.
Anything to drink?
Coffee, please.
Have you had our coffee here?
No.
Okay, so we have something called tea, which is very like coffee.
I know what tea is.
No, not T-E-A, just the letter T.
Oh.
To be honest, most people just get hot water and then add one of those coffee candies from the gift shop. By the way, would you like to play the intelligence puzzle game while you wait?
Oh, sure.
Here you go. Good luck.
It's just a golf tee.
Yep. Hope you get to 100. That means you're a genius. Your food will be out right before it's ready. Anything else?
Nope. I'm good for now. Hey, Butchie.
Yeah?
What's with the decor?
Huh. You rich people don't get it. But some stuff costs money to throw away. So the easiest thing for your person of modest to negative income to do is to hang it on the wall.
Oh, that's why there's washing machines and refrigerators on the wall?
Yeah, and paint cans and all that carpet is stuff that got pulled up and left at the curb, but they wouldn't take it, so we brought it back inside. Cheers!
All right.
Oh, I forgot to ask if you want garage biscuits.
Not even gonna ask.
Bosun.
Yes, Captain.
Where's my breakfast?
Your what, Captain?
My breakfast, my morning meal.
Oh, your breakfast.
Why are you pronouncing it like that?
Well, the crew are American. We don't run words together. Remember, we had this talk about waistcoat.
Ah, yes, my beautiful waistcoat.
It's waistcoat here, sir. And actually, my title is boatswain.
Well, wait a minute. You're American? I thought you were from the West Country.
Yes, west of your country, America.
Oh, to my ear, I'm hearing West Country accent. But granted, I've never been.
Me neither. But I do have a cousin from Worcestershire. Like the sauce.
Worcestershire.
Rest assured.
No. That's the place and the sauce. It's called an elision or something, or a contraction.
I don't know, sir. I've spent my student days in a chemistry laboratory.
You mean laboratory? Well, wait, now hold on. I really just want my morning meal.
What would you like, sir?
Well, a traditional breakfast.
I have bad news, though. We're out of beans. And Andy ate the last of the albatross.
Oh, that lasted a good long while, though, didn't it?
Longer than most of the crew who have been tragically killed since we ate it.
Well, it made the thing go further, though, didn't it? Blessing in disguise.
Tradition.
Butchie says that religion is just intergenerational brand loyalty. And I don't know if this is true, whether your faith is also is like soap detergent, but it might be. Oh, my goodness, I just saw a few weeks ago, saw the musical that song, Tradition, is in. I don't think that's the title of the song. There's three words about location, about the location cliche. Tradition. And we just do things sometimes from one generation to the other, and we don't even think about it. Look at the, like, Late Show or something. We need a new person for the Late Show. Well, we don't need a Late Show, maybe. It's just something that started, and here we go. And we just keep renewing it. Like that thing on your bill is, oh, I keep renewing the service. I don't even know what it is. But I'm afraid to cancel it because what if it's something I need? Like, I don't know. It could be cream corn. I'm cutting myself off. Well, I don't know if I could live without it. I probably have for years now. David Lynch turned me off of it. Bless you. I'm sorry you did that to me, David Lynch. I used to like things like cream corn and severed ears until I saw these David Lynch movies, and then, oh, they made it look so unappetizing. Oh, my goodness. You know, when you, I'm suspect of things called traditional. And so that's why I would like to do a traditional radio show for you today. What gets me? One thing is this fact. I read that the father of PR, Edward Bernays, nephew of Freud, was hired by, I think, a meatpacking company or something in the 20s to a campaign. And what he wanted to do is tell people that bacon and egg breakfast was traditional. That's the way you want to start your day, is with, you know, pork, barely pork, part of the pig, a pig part, and eggs, chicken eggs, and that is traditional. That's tradition. Bacon and eggs mentioned in the Bible. It says, and you shall bring before them, I think Jesus said, Jesus got one strip of bacon. He said, I'm going to make it go, I'm going to create bacon bits and feed 1,000. And, but something like that. He didn't say that. It's not in the Bible. It's a made-up tradition. So what is a traditional breakfast? Fishes and loaves, I guess. I don't know. That sounds good, though. If you've ever had an island breakfast, been somewhere that's not America, as they bring you breakfast, and you go, wow, I'm allowed to do this? You go, yep. I thought the most I could get is like I could do steak and eggs.
Yep, that's because the beef industry lets you do that.
But did you know that you could have balata beans or something like that in the morning? I hope I said that right. I was just doing, Vicky taught me how to say it, so I don't know. You know, it's so funny, you ever heard somebody learn English, but they learn it from an English-speaking country with a different accent, like Made-Upia or something, or a place like that. Oh, my goodness. So another thing is that Mao Zedong, I say, which Mao are you talking about? It was Mao Zedong. And he was after he took all the doctors and had them rounded up and sent to farms and everything. People say, oh, there's no medicine. And he goes, well, there's traditional medicine. That's even better. That's what you really want. That's what's like herbs and dirt. Says, eat dirt. And so people say, oh, this traditional, I'll just grind up the bone of some animal that's laying around, and it'll make me aroused or something, or calm my tummy, or kill me, which is the solution to a lot of medical problems. You don't think about that. Look on the label, because it'll say, it'll end your medical problem. That is legalese. So I am suspicious. You know, says, oh, something is traditional. This is the way we used to do things. Or to make me, why am I coughing? Because someone released some kind of gas in here. I don't even have enough pets for that to be a problem anymore. Bless, I miss so much of them. Oh, my goodness, a love comes in and out of your heart. Things wander in and out of the air, waft in and out like fragrance, don't they? And that gets me to our sponsor today. We're being sponsored by the smell. Woo! And that could describe a lot of things. My goodness. And you have to wait for another word after that because you say, was that a good woo or a bad woo? I don't know. It smells like something in here. It smells like tradition. And so I don't want to step on anybody's toes. Another thing is nostalgia for a time when things were terrible. And I think, why am I being made to accept this? For instance, did you ever, your landlord, you say, landlord, I've got this black mold on my wall here, and it's killing me. That's not black mold. And they come up with some, you know, that's, it's like Phil Silvers or something suddenly. And that's a decoration, and I'm charging extra. So there is that. And you know that it's trying to get something changed. People want to justify it, make you comfortable with it. So you should be glad. A lot of people clamoring for that type of black mold. You can distill it, and it's a very valuable ingredient. It's like truffle oil. This is not true. But a lot of times someone will try to trick you into thinking that you should be content. And he's like, yes, but on the other hand, you know, when I go to my spiritual retreat, and then it seems like a good idea to be content or to find a way to deal with my suffering and to elevate myself above it or something, so I don't know which to be. Hardy, you're confusing me. Tell me, should I be discontented? Should I demand more? Should I be rising up against the deception, and or should I be walking gently, like on rice paper, like when I have to walk on rice paper sometimes? Why do you have to do that? I don't have to. It's just that I like to. I like the feeling of it. I like the feeling that I could tear it. And, you know, I'm trying to master my ninja skills. And why is that? To go shopping more effectively. And I want to be a better shopper. And just not noticed as much. And if I could learn those skills, and I could walk in to your Kroger's or one and not be hardly detected. There is a fascinating description of a spy type that I heard called Little Gray Man. And what it is, it's a spy. I don't know if you've seen any. Probably not, because they blend in by being ordinary. And they're actually spying. So there'll be foreign agents at the mall. And you won't notice them because you say, that's just an ordinary little man. There, I don't know if they're little. Sometimes they'll send them 7 feet tall. So try to blend in. Put on a baseball hat. And go, there it go. There you go. Put on some wraparound shades and a white goatee and you disappear. So they have these spies, those little gray men you're not noticing, and they're there at the mall, and they're touching their ear going, there's no one here. Are you sure this is where I spy? And so, try to go to a place where more people. Okay. They're only Russian. I'm sorry, God. I'm not trying to diss Russian people. Or the government. Boy, they've changed a lot since I was young. And Bullwinkle Show didn't like them. I didn't know I was being exposed to all that. And,
you know. But, like, they had a character called Simon Bar Sinister. And Bar Sinister means B-A-S-T-A-R-D. Like, we don't have a... It's in heraldry.
I didn't make this up. It's not a slur.
If it's a slur, if you're into heraldry... And,
I know what you are. You're Bar Sinister.
Like that, you would have to be a really little nerdy nerd to know that. Why would you be into heraldry? Something, I don't know. Maybe you got in it through swords.
I got to heraldry through my interest in sword. I was interested in swords and then armory. And now finally, heraldry and different and kind of shield logos and various objects.
No, that might be the case. I don't know. And people have hobbies or interests like that because they come to them in different ways. And that's certainly the case for me. My goodness. I like perfumes and all now, and I came to it through bathroom air fresheners. I was like, man, there's a really wide range of smells here. You know, some are terrible, and others are like, wow, that's not too bad. I might spray that on myself. And then my interest in it grew, and I started to smell things. And I started to, then I would keep these copious smell journals. You know, smelled an old mask at the museum today. No, that's not true, but that'd be lovely, wouldn't it? I imagine that. I'm going to tell people I do that. I go up to things, and I smell them. A smell that's unusual. Can I talk about an unusual smell? Sure, go ahead. This is a really strange smell. So, copper doesn't smell, but copper plus human sweat smells. And it doesn't smell like human sweat. And I don't know if you ever held up, go hold some pennies in your hand and then smell your hand. Or I have some copper, like healthy ball kind of copper ball bearings that are huge. And I got a lot of spheres. I don't know why I have them. But I don't know. I'm a little fascinated by spheres because they're only perfect at a particular resolution. And I know that if I had zoomed in, this thing is not a sphere. So I use it as a meditational device, like people would a crystal ball. But I've held the copper ones in my hand, and I go, wow, bleh, am I making the ball smell? No, the ball is making me smell. And that is, we can use that in life, you know, can't we? A little bit. Put some pennies under your armpits and say, I'm wearing a new cologne. What do you think it is? It's called Lincoln. I would love to have, first of all, for me, there's a couple things I'd like to have. One is a record label and the other is a fragrance line house. The only reason is not because I want to make records or I want to make fragrances. I want to name things and make catalogs. That's it. So the same reason I would like to have, you know, have children, just to name them. So I liked making lists of names and describing things or characters and not ever using them for anything. I just liked it. It's just a little hobby I have. I have so many. I have so many hobbies, I forgot to get a profession. But I thought, somebody told me, you can cobble them all together at the end and make a sort of Swiss Army knife. It didn't dawn on me. The Swiss Army knife is probably the most useless of all tools. It's like, wow, it's got a lot of bad tools. That's what I'm getting from the Swiss Army knife, is everything that you flip out is done poorly. And, oh, but they're all together. They're all attached. I don't know how far that goes, to be honest. You know, there's a silliness to that. It's like an old visual guy. I feel like a Carrot Top's holding up a tennis racket, and he's taped something else to it. Let me think for a minute. Racket, something. Oh, a bunch of noisemakers, the cowboys, and going, I'm making a racket like that. And you go, oh. So it's not really doing anything. It's not even good for tennis, and it's not really good instrument. It's the silliness of its existence is the point. Its uselessness makes it amusing to us. I hope Carrot Top, who is a close friend and regular listener of the show is not offended by that. That's not true. I don't know. Bless. I've never met anybody. Isn't that funny? I don't know whether I've done that on purpose, but I don't know anyone. I know you. You're thinking, you know me. Yeah, we're probably friends, though. Other than that, I don't know anybody. I haven't met anybody, really. I haven't met anybody you'd know unless I met somebody who went to high school with you. But I've never met anybody famous, I don't think. Well, maybe a little bit, you know. It depends. All my famous friends are going, hey, man, like Tom Hanks and something that's never been important to me is fame among friends and everything. That is so much less important than wealth, than money. Because money, you can go on vacation with people, say, oh, I'd love to go to Hawaii with you, but you know I'm poor. And say, come with me. But have friends like that would be lovely. I don't have that particularly, but I'm just saying that's better than famous friends. And then they flag you down. But nobody, sometimes people don't know if I've never vacationed with a billionaire. It's something that I've never even thought about doing or wanted to. Isn't that something? I'm saying these things like you ought to think about them, but I don't do them. I don't know whether that's... I should get a YouTube channel and do reviews of something I don't use. And that would be... I think that would be fine. Or just like... You know how you watch... Why do I do that? Why do people watch cooking shows that aren't instructional? See, I could see watching a cooking show like Julia Child, and she would say, the French tradition of cooking is amazing, and sauces and reductions, until you've reduced something and made a sauce like that. And that is true, though, by the way. If you've been adding, don't use cornstarch, that's instructional and everything, like, right? And I really do mean that. I was doing that in a silly Julia Child voice, but really, you ought to reduce. Don't add the cornstarch thickener. You can thicken things by just being patient. Like me, I'm so patient, and I'm much thicker than I was, at least mentally, when I was younger, when I felt like I was sharper. But why do people watch competition food shows? Like, there's people judging people's food. How do you know? I could see why I used to watch the old-fashioned competition shows. Okay, I'm looking at a dress. I see it with my eyes. I'd like to see it in person, but I can see with my eyes. The food competition shows, I don't know. Man, that could be Japanese plastic food right there. And you're going, nom, 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 this is hot, too much butter. How would I know? And so I think I could do that. And you watch that with perfume. I watch some perfume YouTube videos. And they'll be huffing on their arm. I'm going to huff my arm. I'm getting arm, civet. So I don't know, right? And I can't. So if people tolerate that, though. Now, music, you can. Making music, sort of, you can. Some people fake the whittly. But most of the time, you can tell people are really making music and I can hear it. But I would love to be able to have, to demonstrate something. I've done this on radio before, but I do ventriloquism on radio. Not ventriloquism, but ventriloquism. It's different. I'll explain it later. But it's, you say, well, that's pointless. I don't know if your lips are moving or not. The only reason that when they perform live like that with a puppet, that they don't do, that they have to do the not moving their lips thing is because they're right in front of you because they want to be on stage with their puppet. It's arrogant. I mean, for years, people just was like, I'll hide behind here, and puppet's going to be the center of attention. Now, it's still me, because I'm saying puppet's words. Hey! How are you? If I had my swazzle in, I could do the Punch and Judy. Yeah, what's up, the camera? Yeah. But then they said, I want to be up there on stage with my puppet. I'm jealous. All ventriloquists are jealous of their puppet. That's why they're up there. I'm here too. Oh, no, they're not. And they have to talk in that dumb way. That sounds like they're
I'm choking on my food!
What?
Do the Heimlich!
That's what it always sounds like to me. I'm glad Heimlich's name doesn't start with a B. Like Beimlich.
Do the Geiger!
Well, I can't hear you, what? So, I'm against that, you know? It's just let the puppet have the stage for once. Also, we got radio now. You can just, you don't have to put, your face doesn't have to be on everything. And I know that's a lot of, I won't make people laugh. Yeah, but you don't have to be there necessarily. It's like a chef wanting to, I'm going to make a food, I'm going to run out in the dining room while you eat it. You don't have to make the food, they'll enjoy it, it'll get back to you. And, but, oh no, I got to be right there, I gotta say the joke to you, and then you gotta look at me, and you gotta laugh back, and if you don't laugh back, I'm gonna make comments about your shirt. See, I'll let the puppet make comments about your shirt. And, because I do puppets, but either get inside the puppet, strap the puppet on some way, you know, so that the puppet's chest is your face or something. I've done that. I'm willing to do that. Oh, my goodness. I don't put on anybody else's costumes. I only put on, I make things for myself. I make giant puppets. I've always made big puppets. I don't make small ones a lot. It creeps me out. The big ones can live in the garage and everything. But I don't have a garage. I know, so I had to get a storage space for my giant puppets. But I think, who doesn't? Also, tiny ones, I don't really have anybody to perform to, and for that. And on radio, really, I don't want to spoil anything, give anything away, but a lot of the times I don't have a puppet if I'm doing a voice.
Wait a minute.
Here comes old Puppety. Hang on.
I have something to say about that.
It's Puppet. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I said, oh, God.
Now, I'm going to not probably do that character. I've always, I'm going to blame Mr. Rogers for something. A lot of people say, oh, Mr. Rogers is so great. He had a character called Robert Troll, and I forget the guy's name, maybe Bob something. No, Bob was another guy. Anyway, Robert Troll, yeah, maybe his name was really Robert. And he used to talk in this weird way that I'm not going to do, and it is both irritating and compelling, and it's nonsense, and I find I'm really drawn. The more I speak, the more I want to speak nonsense. You already do, Hardy. No. I mean, not words even. And I think the reason is because the way that people are drawn, like in jazz, to I'd like to do something increasingly more out, experimental. I'd like to find the essence of words, right? Or just the way you would notes or anything like that. What is when I play this note? Because I play a C, you play a C. There's a difference in pitch and timbre and everything. Not in pitch, really. Well, subtle differences in pitch, harmonics and everything like that. All kinds of things going on. So your C is not my C. And imagine all those notes then put together. How many variations there can be. And how much is communicated through music when you don't know where the communication is happening necessarily until you kind of dissect it. So that's what you do with art sometimes, right? So you say, I've got this thing. You're looking at this whole thing and you're getting this feeling. Now I'm going to increasingly take things away. Now this is how they did this with genes, with knockout stuff and flies, I believe, is you just start knocking out genes and see what goes missing. And so you can do that in art, too. You take things and you knock elements out. And you say, do you still feel the same thing? Yes. How about now? Yes. How about now? Nope, it's gone. Well, then let's put something back until we've got that feeling again and then see what the magic ingredient is. And we've done this with art and we do this with music all the time and we do this with words, too. And as individuals, you long to do it sometimes with your art and communication. and maybe even with your personality. Say, I'm going to say, what is it about me exactly do you like so I can just do that and get rid of the other stuff? So this idea of knocking things out, taking things away to find out what's really causing it to work. Do that with cars, too, you know. I remember when I was learning to work on cars back when they were work-onable, I would say, like, can it still run without this? Then is this essential? Do we really need this, then? What is essential? What do we really need? Oh, tradition, see? In the process of trying to figure it out, what is it that you really want or need in your life? What is it that gives you satisfaction, that gives you joy? In this quest, as you strip things away and look at their individual parts, there are those that would want to slip things in and say, hey, it's this. This is the element that is making it great. This is the thing in your art. It's a varnish, or it's the finish, or something like that. It's this detail. It's the way you paint noses, and that could be baloney. It may not be that, but maybe they're selling nose paint, so they want you to. There's just if you're serious about art and painting, and you're painting faces, and you're using the same paint on the mouth as you do the nose, you're not serious. If you're serious, you are buying separate nose paint. Hi, I'm Hardy White, and I am selling you traditional art supplies and ideas. And by traditional ideas, I mean ones that it was here. So I guess that's how we used to do it. Oh, my goodness. I didn't like that a lot growing up. I grew up with people that were aged. Well, my grandfather was born in 06, and my grandmother was born in 13. And so that was there. You can kind of guess their 20th century experience. So when I was living with them as a young man, they were bringing to me various values from their youth. And they're not necessarily bad things, right? So some things you say, well, my grandmother was very frugal. She could really stretch things out because she had to. Is that a bad characteristic? No. Is it good to waste no matter how much you have? No. Should you always try to get all the peanut butter out of the jar somehow? Yes. And you got all of it, no peanut butter left behind in there. Right? Right. So that's what we would do. Then there were things that I didn't approve of so much, like not refrigerating butter. I don't know what you did at your house. My grandmother wouldn't. And I was like, I don't know if this is right 100%. I think that at the end there, it's getting a little rancid. But I just, I remember being sick a lot. And that could have just been from, who knows, we try to reuse things. I don't know how much, well, this cabbage tastes familiar. It's just, I only have the one. I just keep dipping it in, pulling it out, dipping it in, freeze it, pull it out, dip it in the water, boil it. Mmm, good cabbage water. There was a series, and I think they still exist, of these books that would teach you Appalachian skills. And I think this popped up in the 60s or so when a lot of hippies were trying to apply hippie principles, and they were like, oh, you know, where's the line between hillbilly and hippie? Which sounds also like an out, you know. Tell me the line between hillbilly and hippie. And it was do you remember that album? And it was like a country music stars and like psychedelic rock, and they came together and they did this. Hey, it was like when they used to have those Freaks versus Fuzz softball games or something. Oh, it was all people just coming together. So there was this series of books that teach you how to do things like take fresh beans and turn them into leather or sew a quilt. Or take a hog and use it rooter to tooter. Everything can be used in a hog. The other day I was watching an Andy Griffith show, and it was the one where a guy was stealing a cow by putting shoes on it, so it looked like three people were walking away when it was one man and a cow. I'm going to do it like Andy. And then at the end of the show, there's a gag where Aunt Bee has cleaned out the attic. And Opie goes, "What's this?" And Andy goes, "That's a umbrella stand made out of an elephant's foot." And Opie goes, "Can I play with it?" And he goes, "Yes." So then Opie goes off, and Barney comes up, and they commence to chatting. And Barney goes, "Oh, something else was that?" And then he sees, he goes, "Oh, those are footprints. I see more footprints of an animal, but it's an elephant." And Andy can just chuckle, because he knows that Opie is, whose full name is Opium, is going around making elephant tracks with this thing. And they love to make fun of Barney, because Barney didn't get enough oxygen at some point as a child. And so, but they have fun with him. And that's the ant. Barney overreacted again, thinks there's an elephant loose. Could be, though. Happens. I don't like when they mock him like that. That's not crying wolf. He really legitimately thought. I think what Andy did is worse. Because that's, if you see tracks like that, if you see exotic animal tracks, say something. See it, say it, sorted. Just like they say on the train in England. If they say, ear. I don't know why they say ear first, but they say, I can't do it. I'd love to do the voice. They get it on in England. They have a voice they do. And on the train, they'll go, "If you see something, see it, sort of say it. Sort of say it. See it." No, what do they say? Sort it. And then they sort it out. They'll sort it out. They say, give us all the accusations. We'll do the sorting. You don't have to sort it. So I like sorting, though. When I took an aptitude test in high school to find out what career you should do, because I like sorting, and one of the exercises on the test was alphabetizing things very quickly, I believe, they said, "You know what would be a good thing for you?" And I said, "What?" And they said, "Library. Go into the library. Don't work there, though, because you're not smart enough, but I don't know how you can make money doing it." Another thing they said was entomologist, which at the time I was insulted by, but then I went on and found out I'm not smart enough to be an entomologist, which would be lovely, and I would think that would have been great. I was a great selection, but I guess there's a lot of categorizing. Now I know one, Irene Moon, my friend, your friend, I don't know if she likes putting things, I guess she likes putting things in order. I've never seen her alphabetize anything. If she's ever in my home again, I'd like her to go through my albums. See how quickly she could. I go, "Well, wait a minute, they're not alphabetized." She'd say, "No, they're all listed by insects they're referenced." I don't know. But that'd be wonderful. "So much about performance art and avant-garde, I don't understand." Well, how could I find out, you say? Well, a lot of things are YouTube videos that tell you. There are electronics you buy don't even come with an instruction booklet anymore. Oh, my gosh, I'm feeling bad about I couldn't remember the word. But it doesn't come with instructions anymore. You just look online. Or there'll be a video. You go to YouTube and you get a tutorial. I mean, I've signed up at the local medical school. I was like, I finally want to get this stupid medical degree. And they just gave me a list of YouTube channels and say, "Just do these tutorials. You'll be good." I said, "But I want to do surgery." They go, don't skip the anesthesia one then. And send you, but you can learn so much. You can self-teach. and then let AI do it, I guess. But if you just knowledge for its own sake is a beautiful thing. So you can learn all about the avant-garde and performance art and things like that. You don't have to just come. I want to see you, Hardy, though. Oh, bless you. So sweet, bless you. That's so sweet and good. I want you to come see me, and I'll be up there soon and doing something on stage, making a weird movie now with friends that is, what's going on? I don't know what's happening, that kind of thing. It's lovely. It's not that I don't want to confuse people. There's nothing confusing about anything that I do, I don't think. There's a wonderful, not a point. There is an accord. What's an accord? Like a smell, a dominant smell to it. So when I'm talking about something, there's a dominant poetic smell. The equivalent of rose. So it's, I smell rose in there, but there's also other things like oak moss, right? But the top and the middle notes dominated by the rose. And that's the way I do the show, I think. I'd say something like, I want you to examine your heart. I want you to examine your assumptions, especially the ones that make you feel superior to others, or the ones that make you diminish other people. You know, look at those. Where's that come from? What's going on here? Oh, I want to open my heart. And if you want to join me in this heart opening, heart unboxing that I'm doing, let's look inside. First, let's pull the cellophane off. The way the great cellophane sound effect I will do is I'll burn the house down. And I'll hold the microphone out and I go, doesn't that sound like cellophane? It's all reverse Foley that I do. I say, what do you need? I say, well, I want something that sounds like a stapler, like on your desk. And I say, I got this gun. And that's the way I do things. So, and I do things that way because I'd like you to see the way things work. And I want to show you the guts of a thing before I show you the polish. It's like what are those Durodongo things? You take your clay, or not clay, your dirt, just mud. And you make a mud ball. And I want you to see, look it. I'm not doing everything right in front of you. There's dirt, you add water, you make mud. Now we're just polishing mud. If I showed you the polished mud, the beautiful sphere, before we got started, and you thought that was the point, you might think it's metal or something. The fact that it's polished dirt, that's what matters. That's the point, not the end product. So I would like you to know that when we visit together, there is nothing about the show, there's nothing about what I'm saying that is in any way the point. We're trying to get a feeling, you and I. Something I understand will be intangible and temporary. And we're just going to experience and let it float by and not worry about having a memory and not worry about having a premonition and not spend too much time in the past on nostalgia and not spend too much time in the future on predictions and science fiction, but just let the present do its thing for us sometimes. And not think about it too much. And we instinctively do this because we always say, I just want something mindless. What do you want to do tonight? I want to eat. I'll tell you honestly what I want to do. I want to eat mac and cheese because I don't care. And then I want to watch something stupid. What do you, what? There's an abundance. Well, what's really stupid? I mean, what do you mean by stupid? You mean, just that doesn't take much thought. That's almost everything. Well, some things, though, take some intellect, or you got to deal with feelings or some difficult decisions, or, you know, you have to be confronted with some moral difficulty. Yeah, I understand not wanting that, and I try not to do that. What I try to do is give you something that you can wear while you're confronting a moral difficulty. That's it. Just something makes you feel good, you know? Give you a little extra strength, a little extra joy as you encounter the things that we have no control over a lot of times. I'm glad I don't have to say anything, because I remember, like, when I've said things that I thought I believed out loud to friends in the past, and just think how different I would put it today, or like just how that was by arrogant assumptions about the world. Just how fraught advice is. I'm glad that I chose absurdity. And that is, in and of itself, is the only honest, permanent thing I can say, is I just can give you the tumult, the churning river of absurdity, of strange change that is the constant in this life. And if I was to try to give you a strategy, it might be based on a worldview that you don't share. It might be based on a mental state or a neurology that you do not have. And so I can't do that. But I can give you something universal, which is a fun house, a house of mirrors. It is pointless. It is meant to confuse. And confusion is one of the three paths to mental something or such. So you can sit there and meditate, or you can freak yourself out, which is also a wonderful way to short circuit what you think is reason, but a lot of times it's rigid thinking. Do you think outside the box? No. I think in the box, because there's no one there anymore. Everybody's thinking outside it. So I'm gonna changing times. I'm gonna sneak into this damn box where there isn't anybody. I got it all to myself. And it feels huge. And I said, there's lots I can think conventionally here all day long in all its variations. There's no pressure. You know, it's not traditional. It's just that I'm not gonna reinvent the wheel. I'm gonna just take the wheel and bling wheel or something. I'm going to decorate it. You know, I was thinking of the bling funerals is it Jamaica or something? We'll have wonderful funerals where the whole bunch of stuff on the coffin and everything and decorations. And it's just so wonderful. It's a shame to wait to have to be dead for that kind of thing. We ought to do that all the time. Like, should be big celebrations and big parades around the neighborhood for no other reason than it's a nice day. I remember in the art park, I used to hang out in an art park and that would happen. So we're just going to people just parade around there before lunch and, dance in a big circle. The art park was a big loop, right? So you could do a little parade around there, just have a short abbreviated parade for other annoyed artists and people doing kung fu. Art parks are fun. There used to be, I'm writing a sitcom based in one. No, you can though, you should. It won't go anywhere. No one will ever see it. But there would be like one warehouse space, it'd be martial arts people doing, I'm gonna say Wing Chun, but it could be anything. Then there's some other art making spaces, a lot of painters, a lot of people doing really large papier-mâché sculptures of nudes. What are other things going on out there? Oh, the big kind of weld, people welding. Always somebody going to weld something. It's like, oh, that's going to be interesting. Oh, it isn't. You'd think with all that energy and metal. What else was in the park? I'm thinking bands practicing. Oh, that's so great. We're so blessed everybody can hear your music all the way across over here. And it seems to me, oh, you're doing a Creed cover. Bold. That's fine. I don't know if that's the case. It could have been back. I could have heard that back in the day. Somebody doing it ironically. So someone's having fun doing a Creed cover, and it sounds good. And then you go, and it is Creed, because They were coming through town or something. Bless them. Bless everybody. I used to have this thing. My friend had a dream. He was writing music reviews for the local newspaper. And he had a dream that he met one of the artists that he had sort of dissed. Not a local person, really like a famous person. And they were really nice. And this kind of wrecked everything. And it really does mess things up when you think, well, what am I, you know, of course you can evaluate the art and a person not take it personally. But, you know, we've crossed that line a lot and make it about the artist or something. And so people have trouble, you know, oh, I don't want to. And you wouldn't do it with your friends necessarily, right? You know, his friend invites you out to see their band and you go, what did you think? And then you say. So it was constructive, but is it? Who cares? What's it for? I used to think reviews are about buying tickets. Like, is this something I want to spend so-and-so amount of money on? That's a thing. Otherwise, who cares? Whether something was good, a show was good or not last night, doesn't really affect me too much. But individual things that are for sale, maybe albums or something, that makes sense. So I guess what I'm saying is that you're not allowed to criticize me ever. No, I'm kidding. You can, because if I have my show, oh gosh, if I do a live show, then somebody could say, you know, here's what I think. It's not worth the whatever, how much money it is. Keeps going up every year. I don't even want to tell. That's how long I have been doing this. That the ticket prices were much lower. And I know things are more expensive now. I'm on much more medicine than I was then. So yeah, I think I probably, isn't that interesting how the times change? I want to buy things at traditional prices. I want tooth powder, not toothpaste, and I want to buy it for a nickel. No, I don't. I don't want that. I don't mind times changing a little bit. God, where's toothpaste going to go? What's it evolve? How's that going to evolve? Is just that going to stay like that for a long time? I don't know. There's too much. They've tried to change the toothpaste tube here and there. Doesn't work out. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's going to stay. So we did the powder. I guess we used to have tooth powders before my time. And some people will brush their teeth with baking soda. If you brush your teeth with baking powder, though, they'll get slightly puffier. If your teeth, you say, my teeth are so tiny, I want them to puff up a bit. There's all sorts of things that you can brush your teeth with whatever you want. I'm not telling you. Don't tell me what to do. That's a way, I think, if your enemies are petulant and contrarian, they're so easy to defeat by just telling them they can't do something. So you just name like a poison and say, don't eat that. And then it's wonderful. Then they're gone. So are you blessed? Are you blessed with that kind of enemy? Oh, no, Hardy, I'm afraid I'm not blessed with enemies. Yeah, we all are. You don't know you are. Because there's people that hate you that don't know you. They hate you for what's in your heart or the color of your skin or how you are or express yourself. So, yes, you got enemies, even though you don't want them. You didn't do anything. Well, I didn't do anything personally. It's never about that. It's hardly ever about that. Sometimes it's not even about that with friends. Somebody hates you. Maybe it's not. It's rarely personal. How could anyone know us? We don't know ourselves, right? It's like, well, people know me better than I know myself. No, they're just sure about it. That's the thing. It's not possible for that. It's one of those fallacies that we accept. I'm self-deluded. Well, they're also self-deluded, and they're deluded about you. So that's doubly deluded. Are you saying nobody knows anything about anything? Oh, I'm almost saying that. I can only speak for myself, and I may be a little more confused and disoriented than other people. I don't know. Maybe I'm more afraid. Maybe I'm sadder. But I doubt it. I really believe that there are, in the hearts of all of us humans, these things of which about I talk about I talk here, that here, talking, about which I am speaking. And it's all the fears in our hearts and the confusion and the weirdness. Oh, what an absurd world. What an absurd world we live in. And we love to be confronted with that, I believe, because there's this comforting in a way. You know, when I've had too much of information, I reach out for my friend White Noise or Pink Noise or Brown Noise sometimes. If I'm feeling like I won't be on a spaceship. Captain, what is that? That's just space. Space is brown noisy. And all sorts of things like that. And that's so random. It doesn't really, there's no information or so much that it doesn't matter or something. I don't know how that works. But I love that. And that seems like, oh, that's right. That's the world that I know. A jumble, a wonderful mess, an ocean of interconnected things, the connections between which are often invisible. So things are causing things, you can't even see it. I think about that when I visit the very tiny worlds of tiny land. When I go down and see my quantum friends, and they're so little. So there are no quantum beings. How would you know?
Well,
light can't bounce off. They're smaller than the smallest small. Then how do you... They're smaller. Listen to this. This will freak you out. I have friends that are smaller than my synapses, like things that are going on in my brain. Like they're smaller than my ability to think about them. So my thoughts go right through them. I can't even think about them. Because in my world, at this level, they have no substance. They only have substance if I was relative to them about the same size. Oh, my goodness. Don't we take some things and make them bigger than they are, like balloons or biscuits? Oh, my friends, I love visiting with you. We're getting near the end of our time together, both in the show and we'll die. We're going to die. Not super soon, but it always seems like too soon. That's what I've been told by friends, by dead friends. They go, it's always sooner than you want. Okay. Unless it's not. I hear you. Then you're like, oh, please take me now. I know. But most of the time, it's like, no, not now. I just now. Something. That's true. Oh, my goodness, bless you. It's a struggle, but we're together. Isn't that nice? Is it better than being alone?
Well, when I'm with you, Hardy, it makes me appreciate being alone.
Thank you. I'll take it. Oh, my friends, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mountain Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, or online, WFMU.org, worldwide. And it's a blessing to be with you, and I'm so glad. And, look at that. So here's the thing. So is the show over? Almost.
Why are you stretching it out?
Let me just explain something about my relationship with Scott.
So one time he said to me, he said, oh, you got the show right at a minute. And I thought, well, oh my God, I don't think I've been doing that. I think sometimes I'm a little short or over. I try not to be over, but I think sometimes the show's a little short by seconds, but it makes a difference, because over a year, it could be suddenly Clay is on in the middle of the night and no one knows why. It's like, what's going on? It's because Hardy went over and then it knocked everything off and then blah, 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 blah. So that's why I try to get it just right. So I've been trying to hit it so it's just everything seems just seamlessly, like it comes right out at that 1 minute mark. So I'm going to just give you, that's what this additional,
you're vamping.
I'm not vamping. This is the only part.
Thank you. Thank you.